The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Good morning. Got a little different camera set up today. Some of my other stuff wasn't ready, so I'm using my MacBook. So if it looks a little different, that's why. Hopefully you're not seeing too far up my nostrils. My voice is like 80% back. I was texting Jeremiah and I said, you know, when I first, whatever this was that hit me, at first I was afraid I was going to die, and then I was afraid I wouldn't. So I'm on the mend now. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll be there to preach Sunday. So I'm looking forward to that. Well, we made it. We made it to the end of the creed, the final line of the Apostles' Creed. And for 14 weeks, we've talked about some pretty cool stuff. Let me give the lesson today, or the title for today. And the life everlasting, amen. So for 14 weeks, we've talked about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Church, forgiveness, resurrection. Let's read the creed one last time, shall we? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I love that. Life everlasting. Amen. I love the fact that the creed doesn't end with judgment. It doesn't end with death. It doesn't end with suffering. It ends with hope. Because that's where the gospel always ends, with hope. But we haven't prayed. Let's pray. God, thank you. Pray that you'll open our hearts to hear from you today, God, as we tie the last of these stanzas together, God. And what an incredible trip this has been. God, work in us now, Father. I pray that you'll open our hearts to hear what you have to say. Thanks, God. We ask it in your name. Amen. You know, I think one of the bad things about Christianity and the church today is that we don't talk about heaven very much. The early Christians did. They endured persecution because they believed that something better was coming. They sacrificed comfort because they believed something better was coming. But somewhere along the way, we became really attached to this world. We've become so attached that we've almost forgotten where we're headed to another one. As one old preacher used to say, we're not home yet. And we're not. So we're going to talk about eternal life today. Let's start with this. Eternal life is more than living forever. When people hear the words eternal life, they usually think, well, living forever, eternal life. That's true, but it's much bigger than that. The Bible says external life is not merely endless existence. It's life in perfect relationship with God. Difference. It's not just another you know, as I after I retired and I'm not working at all now, I have trouble remembering what day it is sometimes, because Monday is the same as Tuesday, is the same as Wednesday, is the same as Thursday. I mean, I have the Bible study on Wednesday mornings to kind of keep me grounded. I do a Tuesday night Bible study in Pennsylvania. So, but otherwise, they just kind of all fade into each other. The eternal life should not, it's not going to be an endless existence like that. It's life in a perfect relationship with God. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I know what that looks like. I know it's got to be pretty good, though. Look at John 17:3. This is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. Now notice, Jesus didn't define eternal life as a place. He defined it as a relationship. Let's go back to John 17:3. This is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one who sent you. So eternal life is all about relationship. It's about being in a relationship with God. It's knowing God. Eternal life begins the minute you accept Christ, the very moment. Heaven is not simply where eternal life begins. It's where it's completed. I love that idea. Eternal life doesn't just begin when we go to heaven. It's already begun in our hearts. Think about a wedding. The wedding ceremony isn't the marriage. It's the beginning of the marriage. Likewise, salvation isn't the finish line. It's the beginning of eternal life. You don't have to wait until heaven to experience God's presence. You can begin by walking with him today. Oops. Oh, okay. Well-oiled machine, operating at peak efficiency. You don't have to wait until heaven to experience God's presence. You can begin walking with him today. If you're waiting for heaven to somehow transform your relationship with Christ, it will. But it shouldn't as much as we think sometimes, because we can begin that relationship today. And we need to begin that relationship today. Have you ever visited someplace for the first time? You know, when I was traveling in the RV, I'd get to towns. I didn't know where anything was. I'd have to look it up on Apple Maps or something to find a grocery store. I didn't know where anything was. But then every now and then I would travel back to that same area. And now I kind of knew what was going on. I think it's the same way with our relationship with Christ. I want to get to heaven and kind of know my way around. I want to get to heaven and get past all the awestruck. Oh, look at the angels. Cool. No. Where's Jesus? I want to talk to Jesus. Second thing we need to know is that heaven is a real place. Kids used to sing that song. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and face. I want to see my Savior's place, face. Heaven is a wonderful place. I hate that song. Look at John 14. I hate that song, and all these years later, I can still remember it. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you that I'm going. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be where I am. Notice the language. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. I'm preparing a place for you. Jesus wasn't speaking symbolically. He's preparing a real home for his people. Heaven is not wishful thinking. It's God's prepared home for his kids. Excuse me. liquid IV. It's not tasty. That's all right. Have you ever spent months preparing your own company? Maybe you're going to host Thanksgiving at your house. And it's a whole lot of cleaning and painting, making sure that everything's just right. Jesus is preparing for over 2,000 years, putting together our eternal home. Imagine what that's going to be like. Some people, you know, start talking about, well, I hope my mansion has a fishing pond. Others say, well, I hope mine has a golf course. Personally, I just hope mine doesn't have stairs. And at my age, that becomes a bigger prayer request every year. Although, we get to heaven, I'll have a heavenly body. I may not care. Maybe I'll just float upstairs. The wonderful truth is this. Whatever heaven is like, it'll be better than our best imagination. I mean, I can think of some wild stuff. But God's going to outdo all of that. I keep looking up at the camera, but it should be clicking there. Don't become so attached to temporary things that you forget your permanent home. Don't spend all your time fixing up this place when God's got something so much better for you just around the bend. I love this. Heaven is the end of suffering. Oops. All right, just pretend that says heaven is the end of suffering. I have no words. Revelation 21:4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All of these things are gone forever. Every tear from their eyes. No more death or sorrow, crying or pain. Look at that. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. Those four words alone ought to make you want to shout, no more pain. Think about all the things that won't exist in heaven. Hospitals, funeral homes, cancer centers, wheelchairs, divorce courts, addiction clinics, graveyards. There won't even be Kleenex because there won't be tears. Everything sin brought into the world, God is going to remove forever. I want you to listen very closely to this right now. Okay? Your greatest pain has an expiration date. The thing that is hurting you the most has an expiration date. Man. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for that. Heaven is about being with Jesus. Sometimes we get fascinated with all the stuff of heaven. Well, they'd be walking on streets of gold, hallelujah. Pearl gates, angels, crowns. Not clowns, crowns. And look, all those things are great. They're wonderful. But they're not the greatest part of heaven. The greatest part of heaven, Jesus is. Revelation 22:4. And they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. Think about that. The one you've worshipped by faith. Ready? We will worship face to face. If that doesn't blow your mind, it should sprain your brain. You know, we sing in church, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my king, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I get to heaven? I'm going to sing that to his face. I can't sing it on earth without crying. Maybe there are going to be tears in heaven, but there'd be tears of joy. Can you imagine? Songs of praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Face to face. Imagine spending years writing letters to someone you've never met. You know their writing voice, you know their character, you love them deeply, then one day you finally meet. That's heaven. When faith becomes sight. We need to feel emotional about heaven. It needs to be something more than some stupid kid song. It needs to be about our greatest joy, our greatest hope. Heaven is a wonderful place because Jesus is there. If your greatest desire is in Christ, you're missing the greatest treasure heaven offers. So, all right, that's good, right? Let's look forward to heaven. Great. But what about now? How do we handle now? Eternity changes how we live today. One of the biggest mistakes we make is we think that heaven only matters later. Actually, it should change how we live now. Colossians 3:2, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. People who live for eternity make different decisions today. Picture this. Two people check into a hotel. One plans to stay one night. The other thinks he's moving in permanently. One hangs pictures, installs shelves, plants flowers. The other simply enjoys the rooms and keeps packing in mind. This world is our hotel, not our permanent address. The older I get, the thing I notice about myself is I read the obituary pages. Not because I'm looking like for bargains on a house or anything. I just want to make sure I'm not in them. The older I get, the more heaven becomes real. So hold closely to the things of earth. Hold tightly to Christ. I want to end this with the meaning of amen. Amen, amen. Which side of the country you're on probably says a lot about how you say that. The creed ends with one simple word, amen. So what does that mean? So be it. It's true. I believe it. The early Christians weren't merely reciting information. We say amen now like it's, Lord bless us food, amen. We say it like it doesn't have a meaning, like it's just something you're supposed to tack on at the end. But it means, Lord, I'm praying this, so be it. Lord, I'm praying this, it is true. Lord, I'm praying this, I believe it. The early Christians weren't just merely reciting information. They were making a commitment. They were saying, I stake my life on these truths. This is all out of whack. I'm so sorry. I stake my life on these truths. See, the creed isn't simply meant to be repeated. It's meant to be believed. So we're talking about the creed and all the things that it brings, all the things that it's part of, all the things we've talked about. But it ends with amen. So be it. This is true. I believe it. So let's bring it all together. And the life everlasting, amen. What does this mean for us? Eternal life begins with Christ. Heaven is real. Suffering will end. Jesus is our greatest joy. And our hope is secure. Years ago, the great evangelist D.L. Moody wrote these words shortly before his death. He said, Soon you will read in the newspapers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I should be more alive than I am now. What an incredible confidence. Not because Moody trusted Moody, because Moody trusted Christ. A little girl taking a long car trip with her parents. After several hours, she asked, "Are we there yet?" Her dad smiled and said, "No, sweetheart, but we're getting closer." Being a kid, about 20 minutes later, she asked again, "Are we there yet?" Again, he smiled, "Not yet. But we're closer than we've ever been." That's the Christian life. Every sunrise, we're closer. Every birthday, we're closer. Every year, we're closer than we've ever been to seeing Jesus face to face. I'll lay out a final challenge for you. Now, next week, I was going to say as we conclude, we're finished studying the creed itself. Next week, we're going to talk about how to live it. So here's what I challenge you to. Don't simply remember these doctrines. Live them. Believe them. Oops. Stand upon them. When the world is confused, remember what you believe. When doubts rise, remember what you believe. And when your own life's journey comes to an end, remember the final words. And the life everlasting, amen. Because for those who know Jesus Christ, the best chapter of your story has not been written. The final page is not death. The final page is eternity with Christ. And that's why as believers we can say with confidence, amen. So be it. Come, Lord Jesus. Some discussion questions for you. How does Jesus define eternal life differently from the way most people think about it? Well, and hopefully I've given you a whole rabbit trail to go down when you talk about eternal life now. Why is it important to remember that heaven is ultimately about being with Christ rather than merely enjoying his blessings? How should the promise of eternal life affect the way we live today? What temporary things in the world tend to distract you from your eternal hope? As we've completed this story of the study of the Apostles' Creed, which truth has most strengthened your faith and why? Go back, I'll check. I think there's a PDF on the website of the Apostles' Creed. If not, I'll make sure there's one today. Take it off, print it out, read it, put it on your phone. Next week, living the creed. Put an awful lot of knowledge in you. Now let's put some feet to it. All right? I love you guys. Thanks for putting up with my voice. I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You've